like to say good evening to everybody. It's just certainly good to be in the house of the Lord just one more time, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. God is certainly good to all of us, and we're just thankful unto Him, and we just want to bless His name. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you tonight, dear God, and we want to give you all the praise, the glory, all the honor, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thankful, dear God, for this opportunity. We pray, dear God, that you use me, dear Heavenly Father, enable me, dear God, to say what you want me to say. We ask the Lord that you clear my mind where I can think right. And when everything is said and done, you have all the praise, the glory, and all the honor. And in my name of Jesus, we do pray. Do thank you. Amen. Amen. To our pastor, Pastor Rogers, Reverend Mims, our deacons, thank you, Deacon McLean, for opening up in devotion this evening. All the officers of this church, members and friends, and lastly to my wife. It's just good to be here this afternoon. I count it all joy for being able to bring the lesson for our pastor. I don't take any invitation that he afforded me lightly, and I appreciate every invitation that I have. Psalms 25. I'll be reading out of New King James Version tonight. Psalms 25. We're going to look at the first five verses. And it reads, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day." We're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 4 tonight. That's the book of Philippians chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 4 through 7. That's Philippians chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 4 through 7. And it reads, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Amen. Tonight we want to talk about true tests of our faith. True tests of our faith. Life has a way of throwing us some difficult circumstances. After all that we go through, trials, tests, adversities, when difficult situations, tragedies, and calamities come our way, sometimes we find it almost impossible to maintain a good attitude toward the things of God. I have heard individuals fault God for how they themselves turned out in life. and blame him for all of the adversities, the tragedies, and the calamities that befall them. This letter that was written to the Philippian church was penned by Paul the Apostle. Paul had endured much suffering in his lifetime, especially for the cause of Christ. Through Paul's many trials and tests, he learned how to be content in all circumstances. Despite Paul being in prison and facing an uncertain future, he wrote this letter to thank them for and to express his abundant joy what God was accomplishing through the Philippian church. When adversity strikes and the trials and tests of life come our way, the true test of our faith in Jesus is how we as believers respond, or how we handle the trials of life the Lord let us go through. When you look at this text right here, there are several things that we want to point out. The first thing we want to point out is that believers are to have joy. It's right there in verse 4. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice." Paul had to stress that, and he had to say it twice in that text, in that scripture. Sometimes the trials and pressures of life make it almost impossible to be happy. Philippians chapter 4 is encouraging us to rejoice in the Lord. No matter what the trials, no matter what the tests, no matter what come our way, God wants us to rejoice in Him. And the reason why He wants us to rejoice in Him, because we have a different persona of how things going to turn out. When you give your life to Christ and you're a follower of Jesus Christ, then you know the end is in our favor. No matter what anybody say, no matter what's going on, no matter how things turn out in the world, we know that everything is in our favor. There are many circumstances in which Christians cannot be happy, but we can always rejoice in the Lord and delight in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When you look at how things are going right now, we see how our world is just like it's just going astray. We got our president talking about mass destruction as far as Armageddon. You know, dealing with the war with Russia, you know, and Ukraine. We have things going on, people looking at the stock market crashing. They're looking at how the economy is going astray, how things are just, how inflation is high. But when you really look at everything, the true test of our faith is how we as Christians respond to what's going on in the world. The world is looking at us, who are followers of Christ, to see how we respond. And if we learn how to respond according to the Word of God and not be scared, not be weary, not be worried about what's going on, then we can show people the true test of our faith. Trials are of outward circumstances, which are conflicts, sufferings, and troubles that are encountered by all believers. This does not mean non-believers do not encounter the same thing, but the question always often arises, why am I going through these things? And I am saved, sanctified, born-again believer. A lot of times believers believe that we don't go through or don't have to go through anything. God never promised us that we weren't going to have no trials, we weren't going to have no tests, we weren't going to have no situations that go on in our life. When mass destruction come, when calamities come, when adversity come, we got to understand that we go through things just like everybody else. That's why the Word of God says that God allows it to rain on the just as well as the unjust. We ain't no better than anybody else. We're a man, we're human beings just like everybody else. And we got to understand that we as believers have to have joy no matter what's going on. God never said that we as believers are exempt from these trials and tests, but we are to respond different than those who do not know Him as personal Lord and Savior. During difficulties in the midst of all situations, we as believers are to rejoice. Our joy as Christians isn't based on agreeable circumstances. Instead, it is based on our relationship to God. We have a solid relationship with Him. When we're followers of Him, we will understand that we can still have joy inside in the midst of what's going on. Paul the Apostle himself was an excellent example of one who had inner joy when external circumstances such as persecution, imprisonment, the threat of death was always against him. And we got to understand that we as Christians have to have that same persona and that same faith in our life. I had the opportunity to travel to Florida on last week for work. And when I went to Florida, I was standing at the hotel. I was on the phone with my wife. And when I was on my way back home, back to the hotel, what happened was there was an older Caucasian lady. She was like probably retirement age. But she was holding the elevator for me. And I was running to get to the elevator. And once I got to the elevator, once the doors closed, she looked at me. And she said, "God is good." And I looked at her and I said, "You're right, God is good. But God is not only good, but God is good all the time." And the problem was, she says, "God is good." She said, we lost everything. We lost everything in this hurricane. She says, and we've been living out of this hotel. It's probably been about maybe a week. And she said, but in the midst of losing everything, in the midst of everything that we went through, God is still good. That's the kind of joy that we as Christians have to have. We still got to say that God is good. And not only is He good sometimes, but He's good all the time. You know, we think that we go through some things. When you think that your situation is bad, when you talk to somebody else, their situation is always worse than yours. And so we got to lift up God, because we got to understand, we got to have joy in the midst of the things that we're going through. The most prominent theme of this letter to the Philippians is joy. Specifically, joy of serving Jesus Christ. It's easy to get discouraged about unpleasant circumstances or take unimportant events too seriously. If we haven't been joyful lately, we may need to look at life from a proper perspective. Ultimate joy comes from Jesus Christ dwelling within us. And that's where we get our joy from. It seems strange that a man in prison would be telling the Philippian church to rejoice. Paul's attitude teaches us an important lesson. Our inner attitudes do not have to reflect our outward circumstances. Paul was full of joy because he knew that no matter what happened to him, Jesus Christ was with him. And we got to have that same kind of joy. That's why in Philippians chapter 1 verse 21, Paul said, For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In other words, I am living to glorify my Lord and Savior no matter what's going on in my life. No matter what happened, no matter what's going on in my life, I am living to glorify Him. We as Christians will face trouble in this world, but we should rejoice in the trials we face because we know Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. And that ought to be reassuring to us as children of God. when you know who Jesus is, when you know what the Word of God says, when you know what's in store for us in the future, we have to continue on having joy in the midst of what's going on in our lives. God allowed things to happen, and He allowed things to happen for a reason. Don't you think that the stuff that this nation go through, this town go through, this county go through, don't think that it's mishap. God allowed us to go through stuff because He wants us to come back to Him. See, sometimes we act like the children of Israel. What am I talking about when I say we act like the children of Israel? See, the children of Israel, they was prospering, they was thriving, they was protected as long as they stayed with the Lord. See, when things start going well with us, what we do is we start getting out here and start doing everything up under the sun. When they start passing things in this nation, start making gay marriages and everything legalized, we start doing everything under the sun in our nation, God pronounced judgment on our nation. But because we live here, because we are here, God's going to protect His children, but we're still going to go through some things because of what's going on in our nation. So don't fool yourself and think that everything's going to be hunky-dory or easy because we live in this nation just like the ungodly folks do. And so when God allows us to go through these things, we still have to have joy because our outcome is different from theirs. If God was to come back tomorrow, if you have given your life to Him, you are saved, you're going back to be with the Lord. And so you don't have to worry about anything. We ain't got to worry about materialistic stuff. See, people worry about things that they don't need to worry about because you can't take none of this stuff with you. You need to worry about your soul. Where you going to spend eternity at? That's what we need to worry about. And so when you know that you have a relationship with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that's why you will have joy when you're going through the midst of your adversities. Not only should believers have joy, but there's another thing in here that Paul had pointed out. He said that believers are to have gentleness. In addition to joy, believers are to have gentleness, which is to be evident to all. In other words, it's good to be gentle to your family, good to be gentle to your spouse, good to be gentle to your siblings, but he said that it needs to be evident to everybody. In other words, we as Christians have to present ourselves different. See, we can't have an attitude with everybody that we run across. We got to learn how to talk to people gentle. We don't have to let folks run over us, but we have to learn how to talk to them gentle. We got to have some gentleness. See, one of the problems here in the text was there was some division that was going on in the church. We had these two ladies that was having the issue. And Paul was trying to reach out to them and trying to get them to sidebar the issues that they was having and wanted them to actually start looking, being more thankful, having joy, and having their mind focused more on Jesus Christ. And so we as Christian people have to learn how to be gentle. This now identifies a person who manifests a calmness and fairness of spirit. A person who is gentle is willing to sacrifice his or her own personal rights to show consideration to others. Gentleness suggests forbearing with one another in a non-retaliatory spirit. See, the problem we have is we have those warring spirits. We love to retaliate against other people. If somebody cross our path, if somebody mistreat us, we want to retaliate. We got to learn to be gentle. And so that's what we got to do as children of God. See, that's a true test of your faith and who you and you follow in Jesus Christ. When you follow Him and you got faith in Him, you're going to learn how to be gentle, because when you have faith in Christ and you got a relationship with Him, you want everybody else saved. Folks cannot get saved if we don't know how to talk to them. Folks can't get saved if we retaliate against everything folks do to us. See, I got a neighbor that lived next door.
And they moved in probably about maybe 6 months ago. But the guy, he's German. So we got a language barrier. But the German guy and I, we started to learn how to get along and talk to one another. But at first, we really didn't hit it off that well. Because what happened was that the mailman, well, the delivery person had brought stuff to my address for him. And when I brought it to him, he just treated me just like I was nobody. So I kind of got disturbed. And I told my wife, I said, I ain't got nothing to say to no folks back door. I guess these folks talking crazy to me. So one day, Pastor was at my house. And so what happened was, he says, do you know the folks that live next door? So I was telling him a little bit about the story. But I told him, I said, I'm going to start reaching out to him to get to know him more. And so now we're starting to communicate, talk to one another about our jobs and stuff like this. We got to learn how to have a gentle spirit and not retaliate against other individuals. That's how you're going to be able to introduce Christ to them. So we got to be like that. We are to be gentle, which is reasonable, fair-minded, and charitable to those that are fellow believers and to those who are non-believers. This means we are not to seek revenge against those who treat us unfairly, nor are we to be overly vocal about our personal rights. And so, you know, we bad about those rights now. We bad about revenge against people. So we got to understand that people are watching us. And when they see us, they're expecting us to have a different attitude or different persona because they want to see what Jesus Christ is all about. When we tell folks that we have been saved and we're sanctified full of the Holy Ghost, then they're expecting that from us. And what they're looking for from us, they're looking for that gentle spirit. They're looking for that godly spirit. They're looking for that Christ-likeness. And so that's a true test of the faith that you have in Christ, how you respond and how you treat these folks. Joy is an inner quality in relation to circumstances may not always be seen in us, but the way we react to others, whether in gentleness or harshness, will always be noticed. In other words, people might not understand, they might not see the joy that you have in you. You might not be around others all the time when something go down and you can still have joy. But the way you treat folks, if you treat them bad or if you treat them good, they can see that. And when they see that in you, they'll notice the type of person that you are. Paul made it plain that we need to have joy and be gentle because the Lord is near. In other words, what he was saying was that the second coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he's coming back. And so, since he's coming back, we need to learn how to be gentle and reach out to folks and to live Christ likewise. And so, in his presence is always with us. And so, everything that we do, Christ can see it. And so, we have to learn how to carry ourselves different. That's why it says that believers have to be gentle. And that's one of the important things for us to realize in the true test of the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. So, Paul had pointed out in verse 6, he says, believers are not to be anxious for anything. Now, when you're talking about this right here, joy and gentleness accompanied with an awareness of Christ's imminent return should dispel anxiety. Verse 6 says we are to be anxious for nothing. When you're talking about anxious, it's talking about to be distracted or to have a divided mind. One thing about us is when things happen, sometimes we are anxious. We are distracted, and sometimes we have a divided mind. It's easy for us to do that. We always try to wonder what's going on, or we always trying to wonder where God is going with what we're doing. See, when we go through adversity, when we receive bad news or involved in a tragedy, we often go through anxiety. A lot of us go through anxiety. Anxiety is normal. It's a human behavior. But when we have a relationship with Christ, we should have less anxiety, because we got to have our focus on Him and not worry about what's going on around us. This does not mean that we can live our lives carefree. In other words, we just can't do everything up under the sun. We don't have to worry about anything because we're in Christ. It is human to care and to be genuinely concerned, but to worry is another. Paul is saying to give wings to every distraction or paralyzing worry, to turn it into prayer. That's one of the biggest focus that we have to do as Christians. We have to learn how to turn things into prayer. Paul and Timothy cared for the people they ministered to, yet they retained trust in God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding." See, the problem we have is it's a trust issue of the Lord. When we have anxiety and things that go on about us, and we go through adversity, we go through calamities, we go through things that's bothering us, we have anxiety because what happens is we have a trusting issue with the Lord. We cannot really gain hold on what's going on, so we don't understand that's going on around us. The problem of it is, when we're talking about our own understanding, is we try to understand things on our own, in our own finite mind. We don't understand where God is going with stuff. We don't understand what God's plans are, how things going to turn out. See, just like this lady I was talking to, she was a Christian lady, but she understood that although everything she had was destroyed, she still had joy, because she knew that at the end, God, everything's going to be all right through Jesus Christ. And so we got to learn how to do that. We got to stop trying to put everything into our own understanding. A lot of things we don't particularly understand because we're trying to understand it in our mind, but not try to understand according to God's plans. God plans the way He do things. When we lean on our own understanding, worry starts to set in because we don't understand the plans and the ways of God. Nobody can understand the plans and the ways of God. God's a different person. Think about the children of Israel. Think about them standing in front of the Red Sea. Think about Pharaoh's army behind them. And they worried because they said, "We could have stayed in Egypt. God brought us out of Egypt so that we can be destroyed out here." They had no earthly idea that God was going to part the Red Sea. He did that. And so that's the way it is with us. We got to learn how to trust in the Lord and lean not on our own understanding. And so when we start doing that, and we start letting God lead and guide us, then we will learn how to do things differently. We won't have the anxiety that we have whenever calamity and adversity comes our way. Things going to always happen. Stuff going to happen in our community. Stuff going to happen in our state. Stuff going to happen in the United States. We got to understand that we still got to have trust and dependency on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we lean upon Him, then God can lead and guide us. That's the reason why they was able to do what they did. They didn't understand what God was going with them or what he did. But God did a twofold thing. Not only did He bring them across on dry ground, He also drowned Pharaoh's army. So he ain't had to worry about seeing them no more. And so, but God also was doing that because He was making a name for Himself with other nations. And sometimes God does that. He will allow things to happen so He can make a name for Himself. So we got to learn how not to lean on our own understanding and not worry. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 33, Jesus warned against worry, which obviously eliminates trust in God. In verse 6, believers are exhorted to prayer instead of anxiety. And that's what Paul was saying. In verse 6, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In this verse, there's four words are used here to describe a believer's communication, communication with God. He's talking about prayer. Prayer describes a believer's approach to God. Supplication or petition emphasizes requesting an answer to a specific need. He's talking about thanksgiving. He's talking about thanksgiving is an attitude of heart which should always accompany one's prayer. And he's talking about requests. Speak of definite and specific things that we ask for. So we as children of God, we as Christians have to understand that we have a responsibility to God in order to not be anxious, in order not have anxiety. We need to spend more time praying. That's what we need to spend more time doing. We need to spend more time in the Word of God, following God, and praying so that we can understand the will of God. And when we have more understanding of Him and more prayer time, then what we can do is, then God will allow us to not have the anxiety that we have. Because we're anxious, and we're distracted because we really don't know the plans of God. God wants us to pray more because it is effective communication with Him. And so when we communicate with Him, we can become a better people. We can become a better church. We can become a better community. See, God a lot of times allow us to get away from stuff or things to bypass us or us to go around things because of our prayer life. How many times have you left home only, and you left home late? You're running late for work. You can't find your keys. You don't know what's going on. I'm always on time. But when you get out there and you get on the road and you discover down the road that somebody got into a bad accident, somebody got killed, there's a fatality that's going on. God does that. When you have an effective prayer life, God intervenes for you. And what He does is He hinders you. He might have hit your keys, so you can't leave on time. If you leave on time, you probably could have been caught up in that wreck. And so we got to understand how God operates. And so we can't have the anxiety that we have in worry because we don't understand God and the plans of God. God operates totally different than the way that we operate. We're human beings. We are learning God. We're learning how he operates. We're trying to learn and trying to understand. But we got to learn how to pray. We got to learn how to petition God. We got to be thankful for the things that God do. Sometimes we go through stuff. We just got to be thankful. God just wants us just to be thankful for what we're doing, where we are, where He brought us from, where He brought us to. Some of us have lived some rough lives. And it doesn't matter. When we get to a certain point, we still forget about where we came from. We don't know how to be thankful no more. We don't know how to be thankful for what God has blessed us with, what He has given us. We see our neighbors with something. We see our friends with something. And we want more and more and more. We just sometimes need to learn how to be thankful for what God brought us to. And so when we learn how to pray to Him, learn how to be thankful unto Him, learn how to bless His holy name, then we can learn not to have the anxiety that we have when it comes down to Him. God is a good God. And He loves us. He loves us and He wants the best for us. And no matter what He give us and what He take us through, we still got to be joyful. We still got to be loving and kind people because we want to honor and respect Him. So believers, we don't need to be anxious for anything. And that's what Paul was trying to paint to the Philippian church. And not only did he say we don't need to be anxious, he said, but believers, we need to have peace in Jesus. That's a big part of our life. Peace is huge. Some people don't know how big peace is unless you don't have peace in your life. When you live in a household that doesn't have peace, when you live in mass confusionville and your community don't have peace, when you are on your job and you don't have peace, that's a miserable life to live. I was in the armed services, and I used to watch this pastor on TV all the time. I think his name was Reverend Cherry, I believe. But he had said something on there, and I didn't really understand what he was saying at the time, but I understand it now, you know, as I have gotten older. He said that he loved his wife because one of the biggest things that she always do, they had children. He said when he come home, there was always peace in the house. And he loved her just for that. People who don't have peace don't know how huge that is. If you don't have peace, and you don't have peace of mind, you don't even know how huge that is being in a situation where there's mass confusion all the time. But he said that believers need to have peace. In verse 7 it says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." When the exhortations, that's in verses 4 through 6, are heeded, in other words, when they are met, when we are doing what God wants to do, the peace of God will flood one's troubled soul. The Lord Jesus Christ is a believer's peace, and every child of God has peace with God through justification by faith. That's a peace that we just don't understand. The peace of or from God relates to the inner tranquility of a believer's close walk with God. In other words, this is a personal thing. This is a walk that you need to have with God because this is personal for you. So this peace that God has for tranquility transcends all understanding that is beyond man's ability to comprehend. So in other words, we can't even comprehend the peace that God has. It's right there in the verse. It says that it surpasses all understanding. In other words, we cannot understand. We don't have the ability to understand or to comprehend the peace that we have through Jesus Christ. This peace is a huge part of our life by us having peace in Him. So when we're talking about having joy, we're talking about being gentle. We're talking about not having anxiety. One of the keys to that is we got to have peace. But you got to have peace through Jesus Christ. When you look at this text right here, Paul used a military term. He says that this peace guards the believer's heart. When you look at the word guard right here, this is a military term that's used in here in the Word of God twice. It's used in 1 Peter, and it's also used here in Philippians. But this military term that he's talking about is Paul's choice of a military term implies that the mind is a battle zone. It needs to be protected by a military guard. Not a physical guard, but a military guard. Those who have been in the armed services kind of know what I'm talking about. We used to have, I know when I was in basic training and in the military and the Air Force, they used to have, we had to stand guard. Everybody had a term, what they had to do, especially when we was in basic training. They would wake you up sometime in the middle of the night and they'd say, you know, you got to stand guard for 4 hours or whatever. That was your time, that was your watch. So what Paul is saying right here is this term that he used in here. He said that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In other words, he's saying that our mind is a battlefield. And when we have peace with him, he said that it will guard our heart and mind. In other words, he said, since the purpose of such a guard in wartime situations is either to prevent a hostile invasion or to keep the inhabitants of a besieged city from escaping, the peace of God operates in the same way, to protect the mind from external corrupting influences and to keep it focused on God's truth. That's what we need to have in our life. We got to have that guard our mind so our mind can be stayed on Jesus. That's what we need to have our mind stayed upon. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It don't matter what come your way. It don't matter what kind of bad news you get. It don't matter what people say. When you have that guard in place, when you have that peace that surpasses all understanding, it will guard your heart and mind, and it will not allow you to be focused on anything but Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what we need to know. We got to understand this is a true test of the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. God's peace garrisons the heart and minds, that is, the emotions and the thoughts of God's children. When we practice good attitudes, God's peace will be with you. And so that's what we got to realize. If you want peace in your home, you want peace in your life, you want peace on your job, you want peace in your community, I tell you to stick with Jesus. That's what we need to stick with. See, we got all kind of stuff going on right now. It's just like Deacon McClain was saying. He said that it doesn't matter. Every time you turn on the news, somebody always talking about death. Somebody getting shot. Something going on in our communities all the time. There's always some issues. We always hearing bad news in our family, bad news on our job, people going through stuff. We got to understand that we got to stick with Jesus, and we got to have that peace that surpasses all understanding. When that peace surpasses all understanding, what happens is people throw stuff at you and you don't even move and don't even budge because you don't even care about it. And the reason why it surpasses all understanding is because people are confused. They're trying to figure out. I told them this stuff and it didn't even faze them at all. I mean, think about it real quick. Like I was saying about this lady, you got to think about it. People were showing individual videos. They couldn't even get back into their own community. They had folks that were sending them videos of the destruction. Houses up underwater. You couldn't even get in some road because some roads were flooded out. You got to understand, this lady wasn't even bothered by that. All she said that is, God is still good. I lost everything, but God is still good. And so we got to have that same kind of peace. When you got that peace that surpasses all understanding, it don't matter what they say to you. You don't even care. And so that's how the enemy get to be confused. The reason why they get to be confused is they trying to figure out, I don't know how to ruffle their feathers. I throw all kind of stuff at them. I say all kind of stuff at them. We do all kind of stuff to them. And still don't ruffle their feathers. See, we got to get like Job. When you get like how Job was, Job lost everything. Job wasn't bothering nobody. He was minding his own business. God brought him up to the devil. And when he took everything, all the sickness that he went through, everybody come to Job saying, if I was you, I would cuss God to his face and die. Job said, listen, long as I'm living, I'm good. He said, even if he take me out of here, he said, I'm still going to stick with God. And so that's the way we got to be. We got to have that same kind of relationship with him. But we got to have a personal relationship with him. When you have that personal relationship with the Lord, can't nobody move you. The devil can't do nothing with you. And so we got to have that when we unbothered by what's going on around us. We got to reach out to these folks. We got to let them know that if you're going through stuff, your mind is confused, you're going crazy, you don't know what's going on with you, you got to have your mind stayed on Jesus. And when you have your mind stayed on Jesus, you will have that peace that surpasses all understanding. And so when people can't ruffle your feathers on your job, because people will pick with you now. Let me tell you, they'll pick with you. When they find out that you love the Lord, when they find out that you follow him, I don't care what you do, they'll pick with you now. They'll pick with you in your community. They'll pick with some of your family folks to pick with you. But you got to understand, you got to have that peace. And when you got that peace, can't nobody do nothing with you. Can't nobody stop you. Well, that's the kind of true test of the faith that we have in him. When we believe, when we follow, when we trust, and we give our hearts and minds to Jesus Christ, can't nobody move us. And that's what Paul was trying to get the Philippian church to understand. He was thankful. He was congratulating them. He was letting them know, I'm thank God that God is using you. You still have some issues going on, but God want to use us as individuals. Don't let the devil stop the Lord from using you. Don't let him stop him from using you. God want to use us as children of God. And if we understand, if we just continue in him and have faith in him and believe, God's going to continue to lead us, guide us, and to show us in the direction that we need to go. So don't let anxiety, don't let worry, don't let nothing get you down. Put everything in the hand of Jesus and let him lead and guide you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We'll stand and we'll pray and be dismissed. All right. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you for tonight, dear God. And we want to give you all the praise, the glory, all the honor in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask the Lord that you continue to work with your people. We ask the Lord that you continue to help us, dear God, to do your will. And we pray, dear God, that you continue to strengthen us, dear God, strengthen our church family. We ask the Lord you continue to strengthen our pastor, dear Heavenly Father, and his family. Our pastor, Meredith Walker, dear Heavenly Father, and his family. We ask, dear God, you continue to work with each associate here at this church and their family, dear God. We ask, dear Lord, that you work with the official staff, dear Heavenly Father, every auxiliary, dear Lord. Help us, dear Heavenly Father, to do your will. Enable us, dear God, to be on one accord and help us, dear God, to live a life that's pleasing in your sight. And we just want to thank you, dear God. We just want to thank you for everything that you're doing for us. We thank you, Lord, for keeping us, dear Heavenly Father, and continue to lead and guide us, dear God, according to your will. And we ask the Lord that you touch every person, dear God, that's on our sick, our shut-in list, dear Heavenly Father. They need you, dear Heavenly Father. You know, dear God, what they stand in need of. And we ask, dear Lord, that you heal them, dear God, according to your will. Whoever, dear Heavenly Father, that's watching over them, whoever their doctors are, their medical staff, dear Lord, we ask that you crown their head with wisdom and knowledge. Help them, dear Heavenly Father, be able to diagnose them correctly, dear God, and help them to nurse them back to health, dear Heavenly Father. And we thank you for them right now, dear God. We ask, the Lord, that you touch our bereaved families, dear Heavenly Father. They need you, dear God. Comfort them, dear God, with your spirit of love. And we thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask the Lord that you work with our church family as a whole, dear God. And we ask the God that you continue to give us direction, dear God, through our pastor, Lord. And we pray, dear God, that you help us to be unified, dear Heavenly Father, for one purpose, dear Heavenly Father. And we just pray, dear God, when everything is said and done, you have all the praise, you have all the glory, you have all the honor in the mighty name of Jesus. And we ask the Lord that you continue to work with our youth, dear Heavenly Father. Continue to strengthen them, dear God. Encourage our youth, dear Heavenly Father. We ask the Lord that you lead and guide them, dear God, according to your will and your ways. And we ask the Lord that you place a hedge of protection around our youth, dear Heavenly Father. Don't allow the devil to gain hold of our children, dear Heavenly Father. We ask, dear God, you continue to grow our youth department, dear Heavenly Father. Grow our Bible study. Grow our church, dear Heavenly Father. And help us to stand tall for you, dear Heavenly Father. And we just pray, dear God, when everything is said and done, you have all the praise, you have all the glory, you have all the honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, we do pray and do thank you. Amen. Amen.